You're listening to the Outstanding Life Podcast with your host, Johnny D, the Motivational Cowboy. As a motivational speaker, Johnny D impacts audiences around the world with his message of living the outstanding life. He's a best-selling author, MC, and two-time Grammy-considered artist. This podcast is a place where Johnny D can introduce you to his outstanding friends and share funny, interesting, and heart-provoking stories. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up. Here comes your host, Johnny D.
Hey, everybody, I'm Johnny D, the Motivational Cowboy. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Outstanding Life Podcast. I want to say a big hello to all my friends tuning in on Dirt Road Radio, KYDT 103.1 FM and KBFS 1450 AM. Today we're going to be talking about the heart of Easter. So I brought in a good friend of mine, Pastor Frank Julian. He's a husband, father, grandfather. He's been a pastor for nearly 40 years. And he's also been a registered nurse for the same amount of time. He's a film producer and an author. He's known as a loving pastor with a pure heart of God. Please welcome my good friend, Pastor Frank. Frank, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm so glad to be here, and I want to thank you, first of all, for having me. What a privilege and an honor. Love to be with you on this program.
Oh, thank you so much, I appreciate you calling in. You're in Florida right now. You got out of the coldness of Michigan, and you're in Florida, so hopefully it's beautiful there.
It has been absolutely gorgeous. We're in Orlando, 75 and sunny every day, and I'm just, I'm thankful. I really am. I said, thank you, God. I don't like all the clouds in Michigan, but I was born and raised there, but he's made a way of escape.
I love it. Well, Pastor Frank, we're going to dive right into this, and we're going to talk about the heart of Easter. And we'll just start with this one here. What is the significance of Easter for Christians?
Wow. You know, that's really the core of Christianity. If he didn't rise, there is no Christianity. I think the basic thing, and I thought of this verse in the Bible because it kind of makes me chuckle. I mean, it's funny for someone, but after I've read it for 45 years, you know, I begin to see what it's really saying. And so Paul's going to go, you know, up before this king. And so the other person is telling him, he said, well, what's he accused of? What's he in prison for? And he said, well, these guys say that this guy Jesus is dead, and he says that Jesus is alive. And I think that really is a summation of Christianity where, you know, we believe he's alive. And because he's alive, he's able to, you know, work in our lives and help us and be a strong support when we go through the struggles of life.
Pastor Frank, how does Easter present hope and renewal?
You know, I heard a special story just told to me yesterday. And sometimes people are hopeless and despairing, and especially during these troubled times when so many things are uncertain and changing. And this friend, he said, I've got to tell you what this guy at work told me. And he said that the guy told him his mother died and she wanted to be buried in red, and they complied. And he said then the next day after the funeral, this red cardinal appeared on his windowsill, and he called his sister to say this red cardinal appeared on the windowsill, and then the other brothers, and I had a red cardinal appear, and, you know, kind of as a sign to them. But the strange part is that the dad died a few years later. He was getting ready to die. He said, I want to, you know, look good when I die. So he wanted to be in his blue suit when he died. And this is the part that's amazing. He said that after the funeral, that a cardinal and a blue jay appeared on his sister's and brother's windowsill. And I don't think he made this up, because this guy, it's happened 10 years ago. He can't let it go. But there are signs that he's alive. I believe he gives us signs to show that he is in our life. And sometimes we have to, you know, dig a little bit to see it, or sometimes it really presents itself to us. But when you're hopeless and despairing, or maybe grieving the loss of a loved one, and some sign comes to you, I don't know, I just think that's too amazing. It helped me believe.
100%. You know, and that's so true, because there are times in our lives that we need to spend some time with Jesus, even if we're not close to him. You know, for the people out there that are listening right now, Pastor Frank, is there a good time to sit and talk with Jesus?
Oh,
is there a right time? Is there a wrong time?
Well, I think it's all the time, but I encourage, like, in the morning, take 5 minutes only, and you'll have a better day. I've experienced that where I've been too busy to take that time in the morning. I had the worst day, and it's like, oh, I should have spent that time with the Lord, because He'll say one word to us that will last the whole day through to give us that encouragement, that hope. If you want to pray in the afternoon or pray before you go to bed, do what works for you. But get that word, because He speaks to us, and there's nothing greater than being intimate with God and then taking that to somebody else who maybe is having a rough day, and you can lift them.
I love that. And I also love, you know, when you were talking, it made me think about the question I asked you, right? Is there a right time or a wrong time? And I mean, I find myself sometimes 3 and 4 times a day,
even
if it's a quick prayer to God and just saying, you know, but I also thank Him.
Yeah.
I thank Him for the blessings in my life. You
and
know,
it brings them present. He's present. He'll show up, by the way, with that.
Pastor Frank, you know, this whole show is talking about the heart of Easter. Some people don't know the story of Easter. Can you explain the story of Easter and its message? I mean, when most people, when they hear the word Easter, they think, hey, dressing up. Maybe it's one of the 2 times they go to church a year. Maybe it's springtime. What is the true meaning of Easter?
The true meaning is that, you know, when Moses went to the mountaintop and he got the 10 commandments and came down, and he said that he would be passing, but he said, there's going to come someone after me who's you're supposed to listen to, who's like me, and follow his word as closely as, you know, you follow, supposed to follow mine. Well, some time passed, but then Jesus showed up. They were waiting for this person. They would, every time, you know, there would be this, is this the one? Is that the one? You know, and there are other prophetic words, but, you know, the church believes that, and even the Jews believe, that's my understanding, that, you know, he's the well-known Jew of all times is Jesus, but, and we agree with that, and they even believe he was crucified, according to my understanding. But this is where we part company, and we believe that he came back to life 3 days later, and that's what Easter is about. And if you really take it a little bit deeper, because of this resurrection of Jesus, and then we believe also that 40 days later he ascended up in the visible sight of his apostles into the clouds. And I know it sounds kind of science fiction-y, but maybe someone with a science fiction background can relate to this, but it actually says in the book of Hebrews that he passed through the heavens. That means he passed through Mars and Jupiter, and he went on. And then there's a thing called the third heaven. And that's what Paul describes in the Bible. And it says that he went into that special third heaven, and he put his blood on the where sin had reached, and his blood cleanses us. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But it must have been so bad that even heaven needed to be cleansed. So, but after he purged the sins, and it says he sat down at the right hand of God, and then he's coming back again. And the same way that he passed through those clouds the first time, he's going to pass them coming back. And it says this same Jesus will come, you know, in the clouds, and says, you know, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we are alive and remain. We'll be caught up in the clouds to be with the Lord. And just to finish it, he takes this into heaven for 7 years where the earth is going through tribulation. But then he comes back, Battle of Armageddon, and then we'll rule and reign with him for eternity. So there are eternal consequences, because the most significant thing that I can say about Easter, it's not that, he created a religion. You know, he created a race. You know, we are new creatures in Christ. We're born again. We're of the nature of Christ. It's like a whole new race of beings that never existed before. And it is amazing. And when you grasp this and understand Easter and the resurrection, then you understand your resurrection and eternal consequences. It is. And it took me a while to get there. So for someone listening, this is a whole lot of, I don't know about all this. Hey, I can relate to that. But I do know the moment came for me when I, you know, really surrendered to the Lord, and he came into my heart. And I felt that it was real. And I said, so this Jesus they've been telling me about all my life, he's real. It just like it's real. And It is real. And that was 47 years ago. And he's been with me every day.
Pastor Frank, thank you for acknowledging the fact that you had doubt, because I'm sure that there are people listening that do have doubt. Mm-hmm. And for you saying that you've been a follower of Jesus for 40 years, it just, I appreciate your honesty. And I think that that's awesome. How does the resurrection of Jesus bring meaning and purpose to our everyday lives?
Well, I have to tell you this, that, you know, many people, see, the body of Christ, the church, is made up of many parts, you know, and we all have different parts to play. And we have to find out what our part is in the body of Christ. Some people are a mouth. I feel like I'm a mouth. But I mean, I also have caring hands, and I've loved caring for the sick as a nurse. I mean, I loved it. In high school, my vocational testing, they did all these vocational tests when I went to a really nice high school. And when I went to, you know, find out what I'm supposed to be, my counselor was apologetic. And she said, you know, I said, well, just tell me, I can take it. what showed up? And she said to me, she says, it looks like you should be a minister. And I said, oh, no. I was raised in a denomination where the ministers didn't get married. They didn't have children. I said, I want to marry. I want to have children. I want to, you know. And so, you know, we came up with this nursing idea, which has been fabulous, that I could care for the sick as a vocation, not just a job. But God saw to it that I would be both a minister and a nurse. So it impacts us daily when we find out really who we are. And that's a process over time. And we've got to take that time to sit with God, to talk with God, to listen, quite honestly, to God. And when we listen, all of a sudden, something shows up on the inside of us, and we kind of know. And for me, it was a real process of finding out. It didn't happen overnight. And, you know, I really did think about entering into the priesthood after I really got to know Jesus Christ personally. And I met my wife, though. We were in nursing school, and she was going to be a nun, and I was going to be a priest. We met at Mass, and neither one of us became nun or priest. We got married. It's a wonderful journey of discovery, really, who we are, what he's called us to do.
Let me ask you this, then. You said it takes time, but for the kids out there listening, that they're new, right? But maybe they have the burning desire inside them to love Jesus, but society tells them there's other cooler things to do. What do you say? Because, you know, teenagers and young adults, they haven't been through the things that you've been through of following Jesus for 40 years. What advice can you give to the younger person?
Well, this is what I would recommend. And, you know, I know to say read the Bible is kind of hard because that's too broad, but there's a letter in the New Testament to a young guy. He's very young, and his name is Timothy, and St. Paul is his mentor. His father wasn't a Christian, but his mother was, and he was led to Christ, but he always felt bad about his youth. And Paul would say, you know, don't be ashamed of your youth. I mean, in this letter, it's so real. Once you finally read it without religious glasses and just read it about him writing to his spiritual son, and he said, and Timothy would get nervous, and he would say, take a little wine for your stomach, and he would try to tell him, don't be timid. You don't have timid. You're not timid, Timothy. You're strong, Timothy. And there was prophetic words spoken. Remember those words that you heard. But listen to this. Timmy became a pastor. I like to call him Timmy sometimes because he sounds younger. And there's this church of Ephesus in the Bible that he was the pastor over. But, you know, one of the apostles attended his church, John. And then Jesus' mother, they say, attended the church, Mary. And I think I would have been a little nervous preaching to those people myself. But I do believe that I could say to the young people, fear is only bad when you let it control you. Fear is normal, or timidity, but when you do press through it and come to the place of say, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do, no one can talk you out of it. I know that. I went to nursing school, and when I graduated right out of nursing school, I talked to this guy, and I just knew I was supposed to go to the seminary in California, and my mother thought I was crazy. You're a nurse, and why do you want to go get this Master's of Divinity and all this kind of stuff? But in my heart, I didn't know anybody in California. They didn't have dorms. It was like, what am I doing? But I went to this Christian conference in August, and there was this huge sign that was lit up that Jesus is Lord. And it was people from all over the country there, 70,000 people at Arrowhead Stadium. And I was just making conversation because this lady next to me kind of bothered me. This is really true. She bugged me. She wasn't really getting into it. She's just sitting there. I'm thinking, get with it, lady. This is good. Why don't you? And I felt like God told me inside, I didn't hear an audible voice, why don't you sit down? Why don't you talk to her? So I sat down and I said to her, oh, hi, I'm Frank from Michigan. Where are you from? And she's in Kentucky. And I said, but I'm going to California to the seminary. And I mentioned the name and she said, oh, then you want to meet my daughter because she goes to the church where that seminary is. We got up. The three people moved over. Her daughter moved next to me, said, listen, we'll meet you at the airport. We'll pick you up. My husband and I, we got two kids. You can stay at our house. You know, we'll be there. We'll help you find roommates, apartment. I mean, and I'm watching the sign say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You know, so when you know that you know that you know, no one can talk you out of it. I mean, I'm telling you, my mother was screaming at me and yelling at me and I said, no, I got to go. And many marvelous things happened to me there.
That's beautiful. And I'm, you know, I was just thinking why you were telling that story. I was thinking, I mean, everything anymore, it's so easy, right? We don't have to pick up the big Bible because that is intimidating. I mean, to look at a Bible with so many stories, so many books inside of it. I mean, everything's literally on our phone. I mean, you can pick up the phone, ask a question of where in the Bible does it talk about being scared? And the thing can read to you,
yeah.
You know, I mean, the Bible can, you know what I mean? You don't even have to read anymore. You can listen to the stories. Just like you have channels on your social media, how can people follow you and get their daily motivation and inspiration and spiritual guidance?
I would love for them to. And they go to my website, frankjulianministries.com, and have access to my podcast. It has the movie that I produce, my life story, and the audio book, though, is on there. I would love for them to go to frankjulianministries.com or the Roku channel. But we're on SoundCloud, Spotify, Amazon.
Awesome.
You know, I just love this and I'm getting wonderful response. But I will tell you one thing that's strange, okay, because we're talking honestly here today, is that all my life I've had face-to-face ministry. And that would be as a nurse and as a pastor and many, many rewarding moments and some challenges. But when I stepped out of that role as pastor and knew that I had to go to the next level, I had to go reach the world, at least try to. People didn't like it. They liked me at a big church, remodeled Kmart, that I was doing this. But I knew I was supposed to do this. And all I can tell you, though, is that this is to unknown and unseen people. I've never seen who I'm talking to. And I mean, we've got over 40,000 listeners with YouTube and all of it put together. And, you know, we're growing every day and people from all over the world. And I'll look up the city and I'll say, where's that city? And
yeah, that's not crazy.
Like, where's Islington? And I say, oh, that's a suburb in London. So anyways, it's unknown, unseen people. And, you know, I even thought about this podcast. I mean, I can't see who's listening or how they're being touched, but that's where you have to, you know, trust the Lord, that whatever he wants done, he will do. And I believe that is what's happening, but I would certainly welcome them. And of course, if they want to write me, if they have a question, just my name, Frank Julian, the number 5@gmail.com.
Well, I mean, we're talking about the heart of Easter. And let me ask you this, how can we apply the message of Easter to our daily lives?
Well, it's very simple. Number one, you have to kind of hear the message because faith comes by hearing. And that's where you said they can listen to the Bible. I recommend the Gospel of John or even just the last few chapters and the resurrection. And when you believe that he's alive and what happened is that he did rise, but of course we weren't there, but these apostles saw him. And that's why they call it apostolic faith, because they wrote down what they saw and what he said. And so we have to believe that, you know, their testimony. But when something clicks inside you and you say, you know, I believe that these fishermen were like nobodies and they were afraid and locked in a room and all of a sudden they're out preaching around the world. I believe it happened. Then you just ask the living Christ, Jesus, say, come into my heart. I want you to live in me too. And once he comes in you, it's like your whole life becomes new, and anything maybe you've done or ashamed of and all of that, he forgives, and you honestly develop. And I kid with my wife, but honestly, I really believe it. I say, I know the creator of the whole universe personally. I'm going to go talk to him. She says, I know you've told me, but you do know the creator of the universe personally, and how he can love us all intimately shows how great he is. And his amazing love is like an ocean of love and mercy towards us, very forgiving and not condemning. And even if we sin after we're Christians, he is quick to forgive us. He just doesn't want us to quit. And that's very encouraging, because we all can mess up a little bit.
You know, I was just going to say, you know, the question, you know, was how can we apply the message of Easter to our everyday lives? And you said it. You said it right there, Pastor Frank, that stuff happens every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Every single day, things happen to us. Not to just us, but to everybody listening. And and we just have to believe that there is something bigger and better for us around the corner. Because when we stop believing that there isn't something bigger and better around the corner is when we die. We die inside.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know what? And this is what I want to say, because love is the greatest. You know, there's faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest is love. And Jesus said, they know you by your love, and make love your aim. And, you know, it's all over the Bible. You know, let us love one another. Beloved, love is of God. But not all Christians and not all people certainly don't make love their aim. It's all about them or self. Or
100%.
When I began to understand, you know, the love of God. Yeah, I was in Florida, and I was praying. We were at the ocean, and these huge waves were coming in. There must have been a little storm out there or something. And again, that inner voice, talking about practical Christianity, like he speaks to us. And it was like, this is how much I love you. The power of the ocean, like boom, boom, the sight, the sound, the hearing. And when I encountered the love of God, you know, it says we love because he loved us first. And so you can become a change agent for people who are struggling. And as a nurse, I've had wonderful privileges, and as a pastor and just as a family member, a person, to love somebody in the name of the Lord. And you don't come in the name of the Lord, I'm loving you because of Jesus. No, but in your heart, you're led by the Holy Spirit. Now, they're struggling. Maybe I can help them. And when the love of God comes out of us and really touches them, people say, I ooze love. You said I'm the loving pastor. I love that. She says, you ooze love. I said, well, I want to be known by my love. That has been my aim. So thank you, God, for letting this person see it. But I do love loving the people. And I've, you know, really had, you know, I think this in me since I was a kid. It showed up, like I said, in vocational testing. I just went to my 50-year reunion, and this girl who wasn't that popular, but I was friendly with everybody. I was on the prom court, but just because I was nice. And I it's also good to see you. And she said, you know, the one thing I remember about you. And I said, what's that? She says, you were always inclusive. You always like, and that is who I am. I don't want to leave anybody out. I want to love them all. Let's love one another. You know, love is of God. And put the sword down. I love in the movie Ben-Hur when Charlton Heston said, I put the sword down when he saw him dying on the cross, you know. And sometimes you got to lay the sword down.
I was just thinking, you know, you don't have to be a pastor or a motivational speaker like myself. You can put a smile on somebody's face every single day. And sometimes that's all somebody's looking for.
And they'll smile back at you, by the way.
Yeah. Or think that you're nuts. I mean, either way, how can we share the message of Easter with others in our own community? I mean, we're kind of talking about it right now. How can we share this Easter message with the people around us?
Well, you know, some people are open to going to church on Easter. They don't go any time of the year. So you might want to, first of all, try by inviting them to your church. But if they don't go, you know, it can be brought up conversationally at Easter because people are talking about it, even in the news and that, and talk about, you know, say, oh, you know, and I believe when you open it up, not in a judgmental, condemning, you should believe this, you know, but, you know, when Jesus taught with questions, who do you say that I am? Who do they say that I am? You know, and so you can say, you can teach with a question like, you know, like, yeah, this Easter, this is amazing. You know, do you believe he rose from the dead? You would be surprised how all of a sudden they open up and begin to want to talk about it because it's all over. I mean, the Passion of the Christ, the movie I watch every year, it's like a devotional. The TV show The Chosen. I mean, the gospel is getting out into the secular world through those. We love the movie The Jesus Revolution. That was me. That's when I came to Christ. So there are things that are going forth that enable you to ask questions. You know. One of my easiest ones when it's a stranger or something. So what denomination were you raised in? You know, and it just begins. Well, I don't go to church anymore, and I don't really believe all that stuff. And so you got to let all that go away. You know, let them vent. And then, you know, forget about the church, organized religion. You know, who do you think Jesus is? Do you really think he's God in the flesh? Oh, my goodness. Does that give you a plethora of answers? But it opens the door. And, you know, maybe they don't come to church that first time, or maybe they don't come to Christ. But I can tell you this, they will come back to you at a later date, especially when they're going through a struggle.
100%. And so then let me ask you this. You talked about going to church, and sometimes for somebody, it might be the first time. What if they don't have anybody in their life to go to church with? What can you tell the people that in their heart, they really want to find a church? They want to go to church. They want to go to church on Sunday. Do you just tell them to show up at any church that has a cross and say, come on in? I mean, because every church has a sign that says, come on in, we welcome you.
Wow.
Because that's tough, right? And the other thing I want to bring up is don't be afraid to ask questions, but also don't be the Christian that wants to be right about the questions being asked. Because in my mind, it's okay to ask questions.
Well, you know, not every church out there is good. I mean, it pains me to say that. I don't know if it's okay to go to any church. I would read up on the church. You know, nowadays you can Google the church and find out what they believe, and if you—
Or even go online. You can do church online.
You can use church online. You can go to frankjulianministries.com. Oh, wait, did I just plug my ministry again? No, but there are ways to hear, you know. If they really are on a real discovery, even if they feel they made a mistake, you know, God will correct it. So, you know, but I do encourage them to try to go to, you know, a church that they at least have read about and know what they believe, because this is very, very important. See, this could affect the rest of your life and how you believe and how you behave. And so it wouldn't hurt. And I'm even open. I think you are too. You know, if they ever want to write us or write me and say, what does this church believe, this denomination? Do you recommend it? You know, frankjulian5@gmail.com.
I know I said a lot in that question that I just gave you. The second part of that was, don't be afraid. And you said this a few minutes ago, don't be afraid to ask questions. But it's important for me to also ask you this. Don't be afraid to ask questions, but also don't be the Christian that wants to be right about everything. And they get upset, because I've met people, they get upset with you when you ask questions or you challenge a story.
I have an answer for you. And that guy just recently had a talk with me about that. The world has changed a lot, even in the last few years compared to what it was. And many people are living lifestyles that are contrary to what the gospel teaches. And I was getting like judgmental, and I didn't like it, but I didn't like what they were doing either, you know? And I took it to God, you know, in my prayer time and said, you know, how do I deal with this? And you know what he said to me very simply? He said, you love them, I'll judge them. So if
Pastor Frank, back up. Say that again. What was that last line?
He said, you love them and I'll judge them.
Lord, that is beautiful. I just got goosebumps.
I am free of judgment. And this woman came up to me, and her son was living with someone not married. And she says, of course I want him to marry, but they don't want to get married. And I gave her that advice. I said, why don't you love him and let God judge him? Because, see, I can't judge the whole world, but I'm going to love him. And I'm going to let God judge him. And I am free to talk to anybody then and really show the love of Christ. And hopefully the opportunity will open for them to ask Jesus in their heart. And then he will teach and train them.
What does the resurrection of Jesus teach us about the power of God's love?
Well, this is what it teaches us, is that before the resurrection could occur, the crucifixion had to occur. And Jesus didn't want to go through that suffering. And he begged God. He said, is there another way? Like three times he's praying, and let this cup pass from me, you know, but not my will, your will be done. And he had to go through the cross. Now, some people want to come to God without going through the cross. And they say, you can believe anything as long as you're true to your... No, no. Jesus would have gone, and he would have meditated his way to heaven if he could. No, he had to go to the cross. And therefore, we have to believe that he died for us freely. He was not, no one killed him. He laid down his life. He chose to do the Father's will, and he chose to stay on that cross. They could have jumped down. He says, you know, he can save others, but he can't save himself. They mocked him, and that was the truth. He couldn't save himself because he wanted to save others, and he had to die. So once the death occurred, he's the Lamb of God, the Bible says, John the Baptist spoke over him, who takes away the sins of the world. Once he said, it's finished, it's accomplished, and he gave up the ghost. So he had paid that price, but he was buried, and 3 days later is the resurrection or Easter. And because he rose from the dead, you know, and his sacrifice of his life was accomplished, we can receive this by faith, not by legalism. See, the other religion was all about keeping laws, 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 laws. But ours is by faith. So when you hear this message and when you believe this message, that's how you get saved, to use a religious term, because it has to be by faith. It can no longer be by anything you do.
Pastor Frank, I have to ask, this question came in on social media. When I put this up there that I was doing a Easter episode, and somebody wrote in and they said, can you ask Pastor Frank, what's the meaning of Good Friday, and why do we celebrate Good Friday?
They're thinking there. And why is it called good, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, it's good because of what I just shared, really, is that he chose it. He didn't have to go to the cross. He could have said no, and that was the whole temptation of Christ, was to not go through the cross. So it is good for us, but it wasn't necessarily good for him. And what we do is celebrate that love, but really by entering into his sufferings or his passion. And the Bible says, if we suffer with him, we'll be glorified together. So you have to have an idea of what happened on Good Friday to really understand the whole gospel, and especially the resurrection. In the book of Galatians, the second chapter, the 20th verse, I say it every day, but he said, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. It's called the crucified lifestyle, but it brings great joy. When you die, life comes. But you have to understand that in order to enter in, Jesus is the door to get in there. It's through the cross.
In what ways can the message of Easter inspire us to overcome challenges in our daily lives?
Oh, I love that. That's really where the rubber meets the road.
Exactly.
Daily walk. It is not a Sunday morning Christianity. It's daily, a daily walk. And like we said earlier, life happens. But when you are faced with maybe a monumental thing. This one woman came to me once and just said, I can't forgive my ex-husband. He's tormenting me. We had three kids and I hate him. We're at the altar, right? And I say, you've got to forgive him. I said, you've got to forgive him, because if you don't, he wins. and you're held bound. Every day you're in bondage to that. And so she, you know what she told me?
What's that?
She came back and she said, that night I went to bed. I was laying in bed. She said, Pastor Frank said, I've got to forgive him. So she says, because Pastor Frank said it, I forgive him. And she tells me to this day that changed her life. She believes in Jesus Christ. She says, I have faith. I believe. So when we face the daily challenges with the help of God and do it his way, we have a strength that is supernatural. It's beyond our natural strength.
Pastor Frank, how can the story of Easter encourage us to live with a sense of purpose and hope?
I love this. It's blessing me, by the way. Well, there's a famous scripture in the Bible. It says, we know all things work together for good to them that love God. And I used to stop there, okay? And I made the mistake. And I went back to read it. Said, what does it mean, everything works together for good to them that love God? But if you read it further, it says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So when we believe that he rose from the dead and we have him in our heart and we're living daily lives, you begin to understand that there's a purpose for you. You're not alive for your own purpose. There's a special purpose, and that's the God purpose in your life. And everything will work together. It'll work out. God's got it. If you will get in line with that purpose and pray and seek God and try to understand what does God want for me? What do I want anymore? What does God want? And when you know what God wants, you somehow it works together for good. I mean, I can tell you another quick story, but when I was in the seminary, this guy came up to me. And he's another seminarian, and we didn't have money in 77. And he said, I had a vision of you last night. I don't even know this guy, right? And he said, I saw a bishop's mitre being put on your head. And then he slipped me a 20. And I said, wow, you don't have to give me money. I have journaled every day for 47 years, every night. And I did journal that. And so when I had to leave the denomination I was in because a new pastor came in, and it wasn't right for me to remain at the church, but I was invited to another church and another denomination. But I wanted to have my credentials if I had to do a wedding or something. So I applied to be a pastor, and they sent everything back. And with all my 45 years of experience, 47, they said, you need to be a bishop, not a pastor. You have all these, it's an honorary title, all these activities that you've done. I've been all over the world and I've helped with AIDS in Africa. But anyways, so they came, the bishop of the state came, and I was ordained as a bishop. And I remembered the word, and I found the journal entry. And it said that when you are anointed as a bishop, he said that there will be a new gifting given to you to carry out the next phase of your ministry. And it took 46 years for that word to come true, but he worked everything out for my good. I can see the trail of it all to get me to that place. And now I'm in this new place, podcasting all over the world and talking to you, but there's a gifting to do it. So he will work it together for good for them if they will just get into that place of his purpose for their life.
Pastor Frank, how does the Easter celebration vary around the world? You've mentioned a couple of times your message going around the world, and this person wrote in, and I thought, again, what a great question. How does the Easter celebration vary around the world? Is it the same everywhere, or does it change up a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. It changes up. A lot of it is based on culture, too, but it has to have the core message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But it does. And, when I was in Africa 8 times, like I mentioned earlier about helping with AIDS, and, Easter there is like this total celebration of like jumping and praising, very, very fluid, And that's what I like now.
In what ways can the themes of rebirth and renewal found in Easter shape our personal and professional growth?
This is very personal to me, this question, because when I went to nursing school, to the university to study nursing, I had one intention, and that was to become an anesthetist, a nurse anesthetist, 2 more years after nursing to give anesthesia and make a lot of money. They're very, very, very wealthy anesthesia people, and anesthesiologists and anesthetists. And so I'm studying nursing. I am in a nursing school. It's a hard program, nursing alone, but I got accepted to this university to get a master's in anesthesia. And I'm walking home from the library at college, and inside me, it was so loud, I thought it was audible. So you will never be an anesthetist. And I said, well, then what am I doing in nursing school? I want to be a nurse. but I surrendered. And I said, well, if you don't want me to be, I don't want to be, because I won't be happy if I'm not in the place where you've positioned me. And I have tried to get a master's 5 times, master's in social work, master's divinity, master's in anesthesia, master's in hospital administration, master's in nursing. I'm serious about this. I kept trying to go for that. And every time I would try to apply, my world would fall apart. I said, oh, I can't do that. I got to do that. I know that. And the only thing that worked for me to be, which was, I'm so grateful in the end, but we have this natural part, is that I became a nurse and a pastor. And that was the combination. I was always seeking, there was something more than the nursing but it went back to my vocation, my calling. And that's what I would say to those who are wondering, what does rebirth mean? What does it mean to be born again, to be brand new, to have a new life in Christ? You know, it really means that when you surrender to his plan, you know, it's a better plan. I've had a wonderful life. But I have had so many people through nursing and parishioners and all these people, but I have loved them, and I knew it mattered how I treated them. God was watching me, and I did it in the name of the Lord. And when you're born again and have new life, you don't do your own thing. You do whatever you do in the name of the Lord to the glory of God.
I love that. I wake up every single morning, Pastor Frank, and I say, you know, Lord, thank you for another day on this earth. Thank you for letting me be a soldier on this earth. Thank you for allowing my mouth to speak your words. Thank you, Lord, because I know the pecking order. The pecking order starts with him. And I'm so blessed to just be that one guy on this planet that he has chosen to speak positive words.
It's a gift.
And when I figured that out, my life changed. It was awesome.
Yes.
What are some of the ways that we can carry the joy and hope of Easter into our everyday actions and decisions?
You know, I think one of the biggest things, you know, is eternal life. Okay, with the resurrection of Jesus, it's not just about your sins being forgiven and you being a new creation. It actually means that because he rose, you will rise and you'll have new life. And it's pretty clear in Scripture that we're going to know the people who are in heaven. And so I will tell you this, and it sounds selfish, but it's just the way I see things. There's a parable in the Bible where he gets 5 talents and they make 5 more and da 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 da. And there's one guy who hides his and he buries it. And so in the end, he says, take the one from him, give it to the guy who's got 10. And one day I was praying. forgive me in advance. But I said, I want all the ones that they don't want. Give me the more portion. Because I believe there are eternal rewards to this thing. I believe when we're in heaven, he will say, you know, when I was sick, you visited me. When I was, and that's a big one for me as a nurse, but why we went to prison, I could tell you another story to visit people. And, you know, I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Heaven's real. And I want to see my mother and my father and aunts and uncles that I had the privilege of leading to Christ. I'm going to see them again. So if you want to see them again, and your mother, your loved ones that knew Christ, you know, live for eternity. Don't live for this life only.
Pastor Frank, I'm just going to, you just brought something up a couple of minutes ago, and for whatever reason, I feel obligated to ask you to go back to something you said a couple minutes ago, and that was you were going to tell a story about prison or something that happened in prison. I'm going to ask you to tell whatever story that you brought up, because I feel it inside me that you need to tell whatever story you were going to tell. You need to tell it.
Well, it's the story of Fast Eddie. And Fast Eddie came into our life by wandering into our prayer meeting one Wednesday night, and he was drunk and he had a hunter's knife, and they wanted me to take him out and get the knife away from him. And so a couple of the women went with me, and we prayed with him, and he accepted the Lord and gave us the knife. But he was still drunk, and we just left it alone. But The next day I'm driving home from work, and back then we had a lot of Jesus bumper stickers, like 40 years, 45 years ago. So he knew I was a Christian, and he's eye-checking, and I recognized him. But he didn't recognize me, but he knew. So when he got into the car, he sat with his back, and he said, "Oh, praise the Lord." And he saw the, you know, the bumper stickers. And I said, "Pray, that's right, Eddie." And he said, "Someone was chasing him. I brought him home. We had him for dinner. We really explained the gospel to him, and my wife gave him her Bible." And well, anyways, years went by a few years, and we got word that he landed in prison in Joliet, Illinois, this tough prison, I guess it is. And I said, "We've got to go visit Eddie, Peggy." So we drove Friday night. We stopped in Kalamazoo. We're from Detroit. And there was a Bible there, and it says, "Take me," and a little envelope. I left a few bucks, and I said, "We'll give this to Eddie." And we got there that Saturday morning, and we said, "We want to see Fast Eddie." They said, "Well, Eddie's not having any visitors today, so you might as well turn around and go home." They said, "He's in the hole. He had a fight with the guard, and we've locked him up." And I said, "Oh, no, 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 no. I've got to see Eddie." I said, "I drove all this way from Dearborn, Michigan to see Eddie." And you know what? He said, "Well, I'll let you talk to the guard who he has the argument with, and he's in lunch. He'll be back in 20 minutes. So my wife and I sat in that waiting room praying. So the guard came to us, and he said, "No visitors," and all this. And I said, "Well, we're Christians." And then I said, I'm his pastor. I got to see Eddie. And he said, "I'm Lutheran." And Paul said he becomes all things to all men. And I said, "Well, I'm Lutheran too." "Forgive me, Lord." But he said, "Okay." He said, "5 minutes." So we went back. We had to go all the way. He was in the hole. He was where they had little slits to see the people. And so Eddie started cursing at him. And I said, "Eddie, be quiet. We're here." He opened the door, and we gave him the Bible. I showed him Matthew 25. "When I was in prison, I visited you." And this one tear was rolling out of his right eye. And you're not allowed to cry in prison. You're considered soft. And I want to tell you something. He wrote us a letter. Oh, my goodness. He would write us and say, "I believe in Jesus," he said, "because Jesus walked through walls and you and Peggy walked through walls. No one has ever had a visit in the hole. You had to go through those prison walls to get to me." And I said, "It's Jesus in us that was visiting you, Eddie."
I love that. What a great story.
It changed us. I mean, I've had a wonderful life. But it's because I tried to follow the Holy Spirit's lead. See, we're born of the Spirit. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit comes into us, and the Spirit will lead us and comfort us and talk to us. And he's a big part of Christianity.
Pastor Frank, what practices can individuals engage into to keep the spirit of Easter alive in their day-to-day lives beyond the holiday of Easter?
Wow, that's really important, because it is. It's more than Easter and Christmas. What I do is I have come to know the Bible, and I've come to learn one thing, and that is that there is power in the spoken word. There's a scripture that says the word of God is alive and powerful. And so it's not okay just to read it. I encourage reading it, but I encourage speaking it and declaring it over your life. You declare spiritual realities. And I do this every morning, you know, saying things like, "I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me." And people can find their favorite scriptures. And I recommend keeping a record of them. I have a whole list. But when I am tired and I'm waking up in the morning, but I'm going to pray because I decided to. And when I'll say things like, "Though the devil comes against you one way, he's got to flee in 7 different directions." And I begin to speak the word of God. It's like I sit up straight in my back and say, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." You start saying that every day, and it changes you. The word, it creates spiritual realities. But you have to read the word of God. You've got to study it. You've got to take notes in order to know how to declare it. And I recommend declaring it in the afternoon or before you go to bed. Before I go to bed, I say, "The angel of the Lord encamps round about me. And minister to me in my sleep, angel of God." I mean, these are personal practices. I mean, you might find something else, but it's so important, like after a rough day, to spend 10, 15 minutes with God after dinner, before dinner. I mean, this is the time when I meditate on the gospel message. And I do this every day and pray in the Spirit, but meditating on what the Word of God says. Because when I do that, a thing happens. It's called the renewing of your mind. And you begin to think like God's thoughts. And you begin to you're not conformed to just what the world said or the way the world does it. You are transformed from the inside out.
Love that. One last question, and I'll wrap this up. And that is, you know, Easter is known for incredible dinners, incredible brunches. Pastor Frank, when it comes to food on Easter, what is your favorite food to eat on Easter? Everybody, even if you are a non-believer in Jesus,
you always
go to somebody's house to eat, and the food is always good. So I just want to know what Pastor Frank loves when he goes to somebody's house or his house to eat for Easter. Okay.
I don't want to talk over you. I want to wait till you get done. But you got me excited talking about food. You know, we're Italian, you know, and, we always had pasta with every meal. And Easter is no different. I love pasta with sauce and as well as, you know, any ham. And I think that we celebrate life and we celebrate family. And there's nothing greater than an Easter dinner, Easter Sunday dinner with the family. And I have 4 grandchildren, my children that are married, and to get together and celebrate the resurrection as a family and break bread together.
Pastor Frank Julian, man, I can't thank you enough for joining us on the Outstanding Life podcast. How can people, they want a little more spiritual guidance, how can they find you? How can they reach out to you? How can they see you, feel you, and hear you?
I would love for them to do that by going to my website, frankjulianministries.com.
And they can find everything right from your website, correct?
Podcasts are available, the book and movie, frankjulianministries.com. If they want to write me, frankjulian5@gmail.com, or the Roku channel, Frank Julian Ministries. I'd love for them to take advantage of all these things that I have cheerfully made available to for free for everybody.
I love that. Pastor Frank, happy Easter to you and your family. I want to say a big happy Easter to everybody listening. I'm Johnny D, the Motivational Cowboy, telling you, be safe, have fun, and have yourself an outstanding day. Again, Pastor Frank, thank you so much, and we'll see you next time right here on the Outstanding Life Podcast.
Bye. God bless you.
Hey, I'm Johnny D, the Motivational Cowboy. Are you planning a conference, convention, meeting, assembly, or any live event that needs a guest speaker? I would love to be a part of it. For more information, visit motivationalcowboy.com. And don't forget to check out my Outstanding Life podcast every Sunday here on Dirt Road Radio, KYDT 103.1 FM and KBFS 1450 AM. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Outstanding Life Podcast. Follow Johnny D on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Motivational Cowboy. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, advertise, or would like to make a donation, please visit MotivationalCowboy.com. And remember to have an outstanding day.